This is the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Allison Dodge.
I'm Jane Moore.
And this is the Flick Chicks podcast.
In case you weren't
I got nervous.
How are you?
I'm good. Technically, the day this comes out is my 21st birthday. Woo! So, sorry if this isn't out on midnight, but I'm busy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm good. School's out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
so we should be pretty energetic because we didn't do anything today. Because
we're happy.
Yes.
So today, this is what I was going to tell you before we started, but then I was like, no, let's save it.
Cute.
So, wrong place. So Chelsea is our friend.
And our listener.
And she's awesome. We're going to the fair tonight.
Yeah, Allison's going to eat a lot of carnival food.
I am. That's the only reason I like to go to the fair. So she said, you'll find this cute. She said, my guest at work, she's a server. She said, my guest at work was just asking me about movies and he brought up Us. And he said that the sun had switched places. So I tried to say that he was wrong because of your podcast, but I'm not any good at explaining. So I wrote down your podcast name and told him to listen.
Oh,
I know.
That's so sweet. Oh my gosh. That's so nice. We love when you guys share things with us. Podrick just jumped up here.
He's joined the table.
The party. Speaking of pets.
We're doing Pet Cemetery.
1989 and 2019.
That's right. We saw both of them.
Yeah.
So and I actually did see both of them.
She did. She did. We went to the theater to see it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. So I divided up this movie into the same things we did for Us, which I think this system is really helpful for like dense dramas.
Hold on, I have to push Podrick away because he's trying to.
Here, I'll put him in my room.
He's trying to nuzzle the microphone.
Then we can restart.
No! Ugh. Go away! Speaking of pets!
Speaking of pets! So we're talking about Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, we're talking about the 1989 movie and the 2019 movie.
Yep. So we're going to kind of divide this into how we did for Us. I think the system that Allison came up with is really good for dense dramas that we have a lot of like ground to cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little easier with comedies to not have a system. But I divided it up into the good, the bad, and the conspiracy for both of them. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the 1989 version first. And kind of just talk about our opinions on that. And then we're going to move on to the 2019 version and then compare them.
Yep.
Yep. All righty. Pet Cemetery. Dun, dun, dun. 1989. It stars Dale Midkiff, Fred Gwynn, and Denise Crosby, who is related to that famous person with last name Crosby.
Bing Crosby?
Yeah. They're related.
That's the only way any of them are famous.
Yeah.
Except from this movie.
It's true. It's directed by Mary Lambert, which is cool. Female director, mm-hmm. 1989, a horror movie. That's pretty neat.
That is neat.
All right. The main theme is death.
Shocking.
Which I'm into.
Shocking.
What? What?
A movie based on a novel by Stephen King, the main theme is death?
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 Excuse me.
Horror?
Horror?
That's
who?
The bit went on for too long. Oh no.
Oh no. Oh no. So I reread the book. I had read it in like sophomore year of high school.
Mm.
And so I reread it. It was better this time. I think just because I'm older, probably.
The book
changed.
He edited it. So it
I read the
be
same
better.
Copy. I read the same copy. And he, Stephen King, personally came. He's like Santa
like
Claus.
That. It's like that R.L. Stine thing, that, like, Onion article where it was, like, R.L. Stine, all of his books were personally dictated by God.
Yeah, I love that Onion article. Oh, it's so funny.
Stephen King, all of his books are personally edited by God.
I believe it. So I reread the book, and I'm not going to, like, talk about the book a ton, but I do want to, like, reference it a couple of times just because it clears up some things that the movie was unclear on.
Yeah, the movie just, like, didn't address.
Yeah, and so I'll just use the book as a reference. So this episode will probably ruin the old one, the new one, and the book for you, so you should probably...
So you should have... So either don't plan on reading the book.
Yeah.
And just be like me and say, like, movie's good enough. Or, I don't know, have seen one.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a good entrance fee.
Yeah, I think you should have at least seen Pet Sematary in some form at one point.
Yes, I think that is a good guideline for our listeners.
Because ultimately the story's the same.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to get spoiled for you necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But you should know the story.
Yeah.
The basic outline of what happens.
Yeah. So yeah, the movies address death, which is kind of escalated with Lewis's profession. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
Also, Rachel, his wife's death phobia, which is a result from her creepy sister Zelda dying.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Her watching her die as an 8-year-old.
That's fucked up.
It's really, really scary. The Zelda scenes are the scariest parts in both movies.
In both movies, they're so scary.
Oh my God, it's so scary.
What?
Grief, obviously it talks a lot about grief because, I mean, a kid dies, so.
Mm.
It's a bummer.
Not happy.
Not happy. Not a happy movie. And then, of course, with Stephen King, what he likes to do is take, like, a normal situation that's horrifying in and of itself and then add a supernatural element to it. So this story's really, at first, just about, like, you know, the loss of their child, and then it kind of spirals into this whole thing, kind of like Hereditary does.
Right.
Which I like, because it's, like, real horror, but also supernatural horror.
Yeah.
It's neat. Anyway, okay, so we're going to talk about the good, what we liked about the 1989 Pet Sematary movie.
Yeah.
It's my favorite, I'll be honest. Also, our listeners agree. It won 81%.
I represent that other percent that I'm not going to do the math on.
19.
I represent that other 19% that thought the 2019 version was better.
And we will discuss this.
Yeah, we have heated discussions on it daily.
We do. All right, so... I think, never mind, I'm not getting, well, okay, so my first point on the good, we might, like, have a disagreement about.
Okay, that's okay. You wrote these notes, so just remember that, everyone.
I said it was more, I thought it was more comprehensive, but only because it's based on the book, and the book ties up more loose ends.
Certain parts are more comprehensive.
Well, Stephen King wrote the script.
Certain parts are more comprehensive. I would say Judd is less believable in this one.
Yeah, I think...
But other than that...
Yeah, Judd is a weird... He's a weird character in both of them, but he kind of weirded me out a little bit in the new one.
Yeah, but I think he makes more sense.
Oh, it makes more sense. Yeah, definitely.
At least his motivations make more sense. Yeah. Because in this one, it's like you get like three lines about his motivation and you're like, well, I didn't see that in your character at all, Judd. Yeah.
Speaking of that, I do have this written down in the good. This is good and bad. Judd's motives are unclear, but not creepy.
I thought you were going to say his accent. I thought you were going to put that his accent was in the good for you.
That's a whole other thing. We don't want to talk about that right now. It's on the list, okay? God.
Stop skipping.
So Judd's motives. What we're talking about there is, like, what were his motives behind showing Lewis the place beyond the cemetery?
I think Judd's the secret villain.
Oh, no, the whole point is that, like...
He's the secret villain.
The Pet Sematary, or, like, the place beyond, is kind of taking control of him. In a way that's, like, making him do these things almost by suggestion.
It just is a stretch for me because he's literally like, this family I know nothing about, literally just met them, have literally no emotional ties to them at all. Your daughter's dead? First of all, no, not your daughter. That makes a little more sense to me. Oh, your fucking stupid cat died? I know you're gonna just bury it and, like, deal with the aftermath, but instead of having to do that, why don't I show you this trek up a mountain that we can go on together so you can bury your cat? And also, I'm not gonna tell you what's gonna happen.
Well, okay, so his motives behind it were supposed to be, they're unclear. I will say that in the movie, but this is where I'm referencing the book, because this kind of makes it a little bit more clear.
Yeah.
So in the book, what is supposed to be happening is that Judd and his wife,
mm-hmm.
Rachel, have like that little argument about like how Judd thinks that Ellie should learn about death doesn't.
Yeah.
And so whenever Church dies, Judd is like, oh, this is a chance to teach Ellie about death because sometimes dead is better.
I just feel like an easier way to teach her about death would have been, your cat's dead, well, and he's not coming back.
But Rachel wasn't going to let that happen. Rachel was just going to tell her that he ran away. And so, like, there was nothing there was the only way he could, like, convince her that dead, like, that, like, because in
but
the,
she didn't even know he was dead. She just thought he was mean.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But then she's like, she tells her dad in the book, I think I'd be okay if Church died now.
Mm.
Because he's not.
That's
as
right.
Good.
He was supposed to kill him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to kill him, and then he doesn't because he's weak.
Yeah, exactly. Lewis is not the strongest character.
He's no Judd. That's for sure.
It's for sure.
Judd put Spot. He put Spot down.
Yeah.
Like it was no business. His mom came out in that cutscene mm-hmm. and said, your dog!
He stinks of the ground you buried him in!
Kill your dog, Jed! And you were like, whoa, I'm 9.
And then the kid who played Judd is so ugly.
Yeah. Also, just every female character in this movie, except from Rachel, you're like, what is the matter with her? Oh my god. Is she okay? No, that one girl kills herself.
I did quote, so Stephen King, this is just to give it kind of a physical representation of, like, what the Pet Sematary and The Place Beyond is supposed to, like, draw people in.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Stephen King describes it as, like, when you have a toothache and you're always sticking your tongue in it, mm-hmm. even though it hurts. Like, that's how he described the Pet Sematary to people who have visited it. And then it's always this painful thing in the back of their head that they just have to pick at.
Mm.
So that's what, and we'll talk about more about that when we talk about the Wendigo, which will be a little bit later in the conspiracy.
Mm.
Another good thing, Judd's accent.
Well.
It's good.
It's distracting.
It's good. Okay, Stephen King wrote him that way in the book, and I believe that is how he should stay.
Oh, no.
John Lithgow.
Don't go down that road.
It's so good.
It's...
Sometimes dad is better.
When Jane first showed me the 1989 movie, as soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, what is this? What did you bring me to? What are you showing me?
It's so good. I love it. Another good thing, Lewis is really hot in this one, and he is not.
That is so true.
Not so much in the new one, but no. Like in this one.
Yeah, he's hot. They're both hot.
They're both hot. Like, I think the actors are way better looking than the old one, which is interesting because the 80s?
Yeah, you know.
But they were really...
Almost 90s.
True. Really cute, though. They're really cute. Pascal.
Oh, he's so much better in this movie.
Pascal's so good. So Pascal is, like, the good ghost that Lewis tried to save. He's a runner, a student runner, and he tried to save him. And so his soul, like, left his body. And since Lewis was so close to him when his soul left his body, then, like, now they're bound. And Pascal is trying to, like, tell him, don't go to the frickin' Pet Sematary, dude.
But Lewis, as always, doesn't listen.
Makes bad decision.
Pascal's so funny in this movie.
I know.
So funny. He's also like, he really does try versus in the new movie.
Mm-hmm.
He very much is useless.
Yeah.
And not funny at all.
The soil of a man's heart is stonier.
That's literally all he says in the new movie. And then and then he comes back at the end and he goes, I'm sorry, Lewis. And you're like, for what?
For what? You didn't do anything,
for what?
Pascal.
What did you do? You didn't contribute positively or negatively.
He tries so hard in the old movie.
He freaking hitches a ride. He, like, changes a rental car lady's mind.
Yeah.
He talks to Lewis. He, like, leads him through the forest. He basically does everything except, you know, hit Lewis over the head with a frying pan.
Yeah.
Which is what Judd's supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what Judd's role should have been.
But he fell asleep.
Lewis just cannot be trusted to make good decisions. He's such a sad boy.
He is a sad boy.
So sad. I liked the physical cemetery in this one better because it didn't look like a soundstage.
Yeah, but the stupid glow.
It's the 80s.
It's the blue light. Why do you have to? It would have been fine. Also, when we were talking to our friend Michaela about this, she watched it with us. And she was like, I just appreciate that in this one. It's not just like, wow, fog in the forest. And then in the last scene, I was like, wow, fog in the forest. There was not fog. There's fog in both of them, all right? It's a lot of fog all the time. That's what makes it spooky.
That's what it is. It's spooky.
It's a fog machine off to the side, just pumping in as much fog as we can possibly pump in.
Just chugging and chugging and chugging.
Those actors are holding their breath so they don't cough. He's holding that little baby doll sized dummy that's apparently supposed to be his 3-year-old son. It weighs as much as a textbook. He's carrying it with no regard to how much a 3-year-old would actually weigh, just limp.
Allison's critiquing his acting right now.
Yeah, I am. He's just not even considering the amount of weight that would have. Like, literally, like, I'm pretty sure he's like, don't worry, Gage. And I'm like, that's a fucking toy doll in there. That's, you're not fooling anybody. And you weren't then, and you're not now.
So Stephen King has a cameo.
Yes, he does.
He does. I liked the scene. One of my favorite scenes in the old movie is the scene where it's after he's gotten done trekking around the cemetery with Pascal, and he gets back and you think it's all a dream, but then he pulls back the covers and his feet have like dirt in it. Dun, dun, I liked it better in this movie than in the new one. I think it was spookier.
I did not feel that there was a discernible difference in the amount of spooky.
And that's her official statement.
You can quote me on that.
Yeah, so that's what I think the primary good. I liked Gage's death scene. I liked the kid death scene in this one.
I liked the kid death scene in this one way more than I liked the kid death scene in the
other. I thought it was way sadder in here.
Yeah, it was. I also.
The little shoe. It's also, so sad.
Not showing something is always better than showing it.
Yeah.
Pretty much always. If you can avoid showing it.
Especially when it comes to child death.
Or, yeah, that or, like, something that's, like, a made-up creature.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's always, like, better, I think, to not show it if you can get away with that. Because whatever the audience is going to think of is always going to be scarier than what you can create.
Yeah. And I definitely think they did that in this movie. Yeah. And, like, they really made it, like, very sad in the sense that we never got to see.
Yeah.
Except whenever, you know, the guy knocks the coffin over and you have to look at, you know, his little baby hand.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's so sad.
It is pretty sad. That's a pretty messed up scene.
Yeah, it's really, really. This movie's just sad. It's very, very sad. Also, the end is more accurate to the book, which I don't know if you're judging on that, but like for me, I liked the ending in this better. It was just more fulfilling for me.
Oh, that he kills Gage and then.
And then Rachel. And then he's like in denial and he's like, oh, I can do it. You know, I can do it.
No, this time it'll work.
Yeah. Lewis, man.
No fair. No fair. We're being Gage in case you didn't get that. I want to pay with you. The stupid record. I understand. It's in the new movie too, which is why I think they switched the main characters from Gage to Ellie. Mm-hmm. Like why they switched kid that died. A wonderful idea. Because you can't make a 3-year-old say stuff like that on cue, so you just have to re-record it, and it sounds like he's a Build-A-Bear.
It's true.
And, like, also, it never shows him talking. You'll notice that, like, it never shows his mouth moving, because clearly just a recorded, like, ha-ha-ha-ha, and you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like you're pulling a string
on his back. Yeah. So bad. Can you imagine the actor? Probably the actors didn't even hear that, so they're just reacting to nothing.
Yeah.
They're like, Gage, buddy, is that you?
Make a scary face, Gage.
Oh my god. That is cute, though.
That is cute whenever they have to tell him to make a scary face and he has to do the rrr.
It's cute in both.
It is. So the bad, I mean, I'm into campy, but if you're not into that, I guess it's bad.
If you want it to be like an actual horror film.
Yeah, but this stuff has a soft spot in my heart. I like it.
Look, the 80s... / early 90s. It was not a golden era for horror.
They were fun.
They were fun. Children of the Corn, baby.
We need to do that movie sometime.
I love Children of the Corn.
It's so good. Is Pascal too fun?
I mean, if you want it to be a horror movie.
That's about, yeah.
If you want it to be a fun experience.
Yeah. No. It's so fun. So this movie, this is kind of a good and a bad because I disagree with what the new movie did on this, and we'll talk about that later. But they cut Judd's wife out. She's a character in the book, Norma. In the book, she like dies halfway through, and you know, it's this whole thing. Mm. But yeah, Judd cheated on her a bunch, and she cheated on him a bunch, and
it never addresses this in either movie.
In either movie, but I think that it's smarter to just not address her,
and not address her at all.
It, rather than the new movie being like, we're gonna make the girl have her face, and I'm like, okay, but like, it's unclear.
It is unclear, especially because in the newer movie, they, so there's that line that Ellie has when she's talking to Judd, and she says, I know what you did to your wife, and you're like, well, what did he do? And then they never tell you. And yeah. And you're like, did he bury her in the pet cemetery?
No, did he didn't. And that's so confusing.
Did he murder her? Like, what happened? It turns out he just cheated on her a bunch.
Yeah.
That movie was definitely assuming you'd read the book, which I was like, that's a bold assumption about any Stephen King movie.
They're so long.
That's a bold assumption about any Stephen King movie to assume that we've read the book.
Yeah, it's true. So the conspiracy, we're gonna talk about the Wendigo. So Wendigo, this is referenced in the book, the new movie, and the old movie. They say that the ground has been touched by the Wendigo. The Mi'kmaq burying ground is what they call it. That's what the, like, the haunted place is. Mm-hmm. So a Wendigo is part of Algonquin folklore. Algonquin is, they're a Native American tribe that live up by, you know, in the Maine area. Mm-hmm. So it's part of their folklore. It's a mythical man-eating creature or evil spirit, and it may appear as a monster with some characteristics of a human or as a spirit who has possessed a human being and made them become monstrous. It is historically associated with murder, insatiable greed, cannibalism, and the cultural taboos against such behaviors.
Well, all those things are in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that the first movie, so the 1989 movie, references it the least directly, but like, because the first time I watched it, I didn't get that there was a cannibal, and then I watched the 2019 one, I didn't get that in the 1989 one that there was a Wendigo, but in the 2019 one, I got that there was a Wendigo because they literally showed the Wendigo, or the figure that's supposed to be a Wendigo, and they said the word Wendigo, and in the 1989 one, I don't think they say.
They say Wendigo once.
Okay. And I know they say Mi'kmaq, but I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, Mi'kmaq is just a whole... I don't know why they replaced Algonquin with Mi'kmaq, but they did.
I didn't know what that was, so I just kind of just ignored it. And
the Big Mac Indian.
But then when you look at...
I hate myself. I'm sorry, guys.
Sponsored. But then when I watched it again after a Wendigo, I was like, oh, that's why they're cannibals.
Yeah, yeah, because the Wendigo makes cannibals. It's man-eating in nature, and so, like, whenever it takes a human form, it's obviously a cannibal.
And it also, I think it also makes it a lot more meaningful, like, because it just shows how stupid Lewis is.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this isn't even your loved one. It's just your loved one's body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not just being your possessed. Loved one's spirit at all. Mm-hmm. It's only your loved one's body, and then a Wendigo takes it over.
He's a sad boy.
He is a sad
boy. He's got to do it. He's so sad. I guess this is kind of conspiracy, but in the foreword in the book, this is such a fun story. So Stephen King and his family moved into a house, and they did have a pet cemetery in the woods near their house. There was an actual pet cemetery, and it's in this house that he wrote the book. And one day he and his family were having a picnic on their lawn, and his son, Joe Hill, which is his, pen name, I think it's Owen King. I think that's his name.
Isn't that the guy? Doesn't he do some podcast?
I think he does a podcast. I think so.
Which one is it? I feel like he does the behind Inside the Exorcist,
I think he
right?
does. I think he does. Maybe.
If you guys haven't listened to Inside the Exorcist.
It's good.
So good. I think we found out that was Stephen King's son, and we were like, whoa. Yeah.
Anyway, he almost runs into the road. Mm-hmm. Stephen King caught him, obviously, but like, obviously, it instilled that fear
in
him. I think they built a fence, which is what the Creeds should have done. But,
yeah, my number one complaint with the movie, no fence.
Yeah, why?
Why? What if you knew, first of all, your cat dies. So it's like, okay, you should have built one before your cat, but you don't know. Okay, your cat should be your number one indicator that it's time to build a fence.
Yeah. And so he catches his kid and everything. And then later, his daughter's cat, Schmucky, dies in the road. And so they bury him in the pet cemetery. And in both the movies, there is a gravestone that says, Schmucky the cat, he was obedient.
Aww.
Which is funny because he's a cat, so obviously he wasn't obedient. but yeah, so that's a little fun story about Stephen
that
King. And how like it kind of came to be.
Inspired him.
Yeah. So, 2019.
2019.
Yeah.
That's the year we're in.
Starring Jason Clark, John Lithgow, and Amy Simetz.
Yeah.
Directed by Dennis Widmeyer and Kevin Kolsch.
Two people,
yes. And they haven't really done anything else. I looked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Newbies.
Yeah, so The Good. Super scary.
Yeah, way scarier.
So scary. It was so good.
Way more intense.
It was
of a film.
It was like a horror movie.
It's always Stephen King films, whenever they get rebooted, they always are scarier. Except for The Shining. But nobody's rebooted that. But that
because
was scary.
They can't.
That was scary at the time. It's scary now.
It is.
But
it's less of a horror movie though. It's more of like a thriller.
That's true. It's scary though.
It is scary. So this movie was really, really scary. And I think that it gets away with a lot and it gets away with this. It's not trying to be the book. It's not trying to be the old movie. It's just a whole other entity on its own.
Yeah.
And it's trying to really do that. And so I think they get away with a lot in not trying to associate themselves so much with the old one and the book.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same basic thing.
Yeah.
I like the switches that they made, though, except for Pascal.
I also don't like the ending, though. That's my other issue. I don't like the ending
as much. I mean, he loses, which is, like, not quite as potent.
Yeah.
Poignant, not potent. Oops.
It's okay.
I'm a dumbass. Don't feel bad.
I called Thunder Lightning last week, so don't worry about it.
That's true, you did.
Don't worry about it.
but I think it's less poignant. Because it's, like, less about the grief and more, like, he lost to the Wendigo.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, like, he buried her in the first place.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot scarier to me also.
Yeah, I think the old one's freaky and sad, and this one's more scary.
Mm-hmm.
The old one's just was a lot sadder to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that, too.
Yeah, it was because it was based on the book more so.
And one of their kids survives in the old one.
Yeah, Ellie survives.
In this one, not so much.
Not so much. I said the Zelda scenes are so freaking scary. Oh,
they're terrifying.
Oh my god.
The freaking dumbwaiter thing.
I know.
So scary.
I like screamed. It was
such a change. Such a good change.
It was so good. I loved how
And it made so much more sense because it was like actually Rachel's fault.
Yeah.
Like I mean it wasn't her fault. Her parents should never left her alone.
She was an 8-year-old
kid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it like actually made sense why she would feel like it was her fault. Because otherwise you're like your sister was like
it's just a kid blaming themselves.
Exactly. In the first one you're like, okay, I understand, but like you blame yourselves, but at the same time it's like your sister was incredibly sick. She was gonna die anyway. And you basically feel bad because you wanted her to die.
Yeah.
But in this one, you legitimately like caused her death because you just couldn't stand to look at her.
Yeah.
Which is like, whoop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so scary and
so scary.
Yeah.
And the Zelda was just
The Zelda was so freaky.
The production was just so much better on her.
Yeah, this movie came out exactly 30 years apart.
Aww.
Is that interesting?
Anniversary movie.
I know. Yeah, it was super scary. And I thought, yeah, the production value and camera work is obviously superior
just
in every way.
A billion times better.
But what are you going to expect, you know?
I know, it's the 80s, 90s.
Product of their times.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the notes is better camera work, obvi.
Obvi, that's true.
I want to talk a little bit. John Lithgow's acting.
So good.
So good. He was very good. So a couple of changes that they made to Judd. In this one, they made him gruffer. I think they made him more of like a, I don't know.
A farm boy.
More malevolent almost, I guess.
Yeah, a little.
A little. But in the old one, he was like sweeter. Like he was supposed to be sweet old man. Mm-hmm. But in this one, he was more of like, you know, gruff old man.
Mm-hmm. But he'd seen some shit.
Yeah, definitely. And John Lithgow is a really good actor.
He is.
And I thought he did a good job. Did not like the choice to cut the accent, but we're going to move past that.
I had no problem with cutting the accent, personally.
His thing with Ellie? Weird.
Okay, I know it's weird, but hear me out. Hear me out. It made it at least make more sense as to why he shows Judd the pet cemetery in the first place. Or, no, why he shows Lewis the pet cemetery in the first place. Because I think this, it might be why they put his wife in to cut that creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't agree with the choice to put his wife in, but I also think they put her in an attempt to make him seem, like, less pedophile-y. And I think it was like, oh, they never had kids. He's always wanted kids.
Yeah.
And so to him, Ellie, like, is like a goddaughter or something.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're very close family. Like,
yeah,
he's close to them. And
yeah, he's like a grandfatherly.
He's like a grandfatherly figure. And so I think that, like I said in the first movie, it's like, you barely know Ellie. Why do you give a shit if her cat's dead?
Yeah.
Like, especially if you want the cat to be dead, you're like, okay, fucking let it die.
Yeah.
And eventually they're gonna have to tell her. Or you could just tell her. But instead, in this movie, they don't go with that angle. They go with the, he feels so bad for Ellie and doesn't want her to experience grief so much that he does bury it.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense as an angle. I'm not sure, like, in terms of the book, it's clearly not accurate because Judd wants her to learn grief. And in this movie, he doesn't want her to learn grief.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that is a way better motivation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it adds less to the story, but I think it makes more sense.
Yeah. It makes a lot more sense because
it just is not so much about the grief angle.
Exactly.
Like, it's not so much about him, like, you need to learn how to feel grief because it is healthy.
Instead, he's like, I don't want her to have to deal with the fact that her cat's dead. She's already, like, going through a lot with the move, and so he does it. Even though you're like, okay, not a great idea. But also, it also makes sense, especially if the pet cemetery is calling him, it can attach to that relationship and that. And I feel like it'd be a lot easier to convince him versus, like, I don't fucking care if her cat's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see how it is more clear. Still a little weird.
It is weird, especially because of the time frame.
Ellie touched me more than anyone has in so long. Something like that.
Oh, yeah, like, I said something like that.
It's like, ooh.
It also was a just an awkward interaction. I mean, it's like, it's just weird in general because the timing is so short.
Yeah.
That it's like, you don't know this guy.
Yeah.
But also, it's the 90s.
You trust people.
It's the early 90s, and you're rural Maine, and you trust people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a pretty decent neighborhood. You're not thinking he's going to kidnap your daughter.
But isn't this set in, like, modern times? Because they have, like, the car that goes beep, beep.
Mm. I think you're right. I think it is.
They should know better.
But also, aren't they pretty, I feel like they're more wary of Judd in this one, too.
Yeah, I think they're more wary of him, but obviously,
but even, like, then they get over that really fast.
Judd becomes Lewis's best friend in both movies. That's, like, their best friends.
Yeah.
Because I think Lewis is just so sad. He just makes me so sad thinking about him. But yeah, in this one I say Judd's motives are clearer, but super creepy.
Yeah, clearer, but creepy. Clearer, but not handled in the best of ways.
No. I
think we are also just, like, on red alert is anytime an old man's like, ooh, let me care for your daughter. Yeah. You're like, okay. Fucking creep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about, like, how they included Norma. I didn't like that.
Me neither.
Either they should have elaborated or they should have cut it.
Yeah. Well, and it really wouldn't have been very hard to elaborate on because all you need to say is, I know you cheated on me.
Yeah. And then I fucked all your friends.
And then he can be like, I'm so sorry. And she can be like, oh, don't worry. I fucked all your friends. And then it's over.
Yeah. And then you understand that
then
there
he
was
gets,
that tension.
Then he gets killed.
Yeah.
But that they just leave that out. And it was two lines.
Yeah. I think I don't know if it was, like, edited or if it was just lazy or if they wanted to imply that he buried her in the pet cemetery, which doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Because why would obviously, she would come back evil, so why would he then bury Church up there if his only experience was with his dog and his dog was, like, you know, kind of more fine?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me why they would do that.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't know if you have this in your notes, but I don't like that they cut out the kid. What was the kid's name in the 1989 version? Who his dad brought him back?
Baderman is their last name.
I don't like that they cut that out, mainly because I really like that storyline, and I think it's a cute little cutscene because it shows what happens if you bring people back,
and it shows how desperate Lewis is.
Yeah. Especially because he knows.
He knows what happens if a person is brought back. And this one, he's like, no, no one ever did. And he doesn't find out about the Badermans. And
yeah. And, so it's like he doesn't have any, he might just think, oh, it's just animals.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that.
This movie definitely plays the grief angle less because he doesn't do it twice. He doesn't do it three times. He only does it twice. Mm-hmm. Once with an animal, once with a human. And he also tries to kill Ellie really hard.
Yeah.
Versus
him like grieving over the second loss of his son.
Yeah.
And just it's in the old one, it's more about grief and how grief tears you up inside. Mm-hmm. In this one, I think it's just because it wants to be more of a horror movie and less close to the book, because the book is obviously a huge theme is grief.
Yeah.
And how people react to it. But yeah, I disagreed with a couple of decisions made in the movie. I like the movie a lot overall.
I do like the change to Ellie because it's just way better to have a 9-year-old child actress than it is to have a 3-year-old child actor.
So much easier.
Just so much more convenient and also so much scarier and so much more cohesive to the plot.
Yeah, because she can do so much more than Gage could.
Yeah, exactly. And
again, veering away from the book. Because if the old one had done that, I think it would have been less like impacting because people would be like, "Well, the book," you know. And this one, it's more like, "Oh, like they're just trying to do their own thing."
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense that they would do that. I don't know if this is more to do with me. It didn't really speak to me that Ellie was possessed by evil. It didn't really ring to me that she had been, like, taken over by the cemetery, by that land. It was more like she had just become sadistic or something.
Well, I disagree with that because for a couple reasons. I don't think she ever ate anyone that we saw, which was a little disappointing.
Yeah, we want cannibalism.
We want cannibalism if we're going to be a Wendigo. But they showed the Wendigo very early on.
Yeah.
And she could change. She could morph.
Yeah, that's
true. Unlike in the other movie, they did not do that.
Well, she did whenever she turned into Zelda.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Zelda is the Wendigo.
Is the Wendigo. So, but in this movie, she morphs into the wife. She morphs into herself. She morphs into Zelda.
Yeah.
She does all those things. So I think that it's a lot, I think it played on the Wendigo aspect a lot more, but I'm not sure it played on the Wendigo trying to earn your trust thing very much.
Yeah.
She pretty immediately was angry.
Yeah. It just, the presence of the cemetery wasn't there as much as I wanted it to be as in the new one. It didn't feel like a character, which I think it should. Maybe I'm just reading into it too much, but
I think it felt more like the Wendigo was a character than the cemetery was a character.
Which is just how you want to look at the film, I guess, if you want to view it. I think it's like more poignant if you view it as the place rather than a creature.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more like talking about the haunting of places.
Yeah.
Which I think is really an interesting concept. So I think the new one is just veering more towards, like, horror monster movie.
Yeah, horror.
That's just, like, what it's trying to do, which is fine. But, you know, I didn't like the masks. I didn't like the occult thing with the masks. It annoyed me.
Listen, it's trying to be creepy.
I know, but it just didn't hit.
I don't like that they put it in the trailer because they made it seem like it was going to be a big thing, and then it wasn't. It was literally in the very first bit, and it wasn't in any other part, really.
Yeah. And then she took her mask off at the end, and that's it. That was all it was.
Yeah. Well, because she wears it to go bury him.
It wasn't a plot point, which, like, was confusing.
Yeah, it's weird to conclude that in your trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just supposed to be like, ooh, scary.
Yeah, it was like, ooh, masks. But yeah, at the end, I just wasn't that engaged, I guess. Like, at a certain point, as soon as, like, Ellie turned into Norma, I kind of just stopped being scared.
I was scared.
Yeah.
I think I think that the final, like, battle to kill Ellie is a lot more compelling in this one.
Yeah.
Versus when the final battle to kill Gage, it's, like, literally nothing.
Yeah.
He literally is like, come here, poison.
Yeah, and which is dead. How it is in the book.
But yeah, it's very quick. And this one, if you're going from a horror aspect, they definitely, I mean, from the very beginning, this movie's scarier. From the very beginning, they make the Pet Sematary out. It's this, like, really weird, creepy place. Versus in the new one, they're just kind of like, it's a cemetery where we bury pets.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be worried about. And you're like, okay, it's nothing to be worried about.
All right.
And, but in this movie, it's definitely, like, a lot more ominous of a feeling the entire time.
Yeah, definitely.
And, same with the ending is a lot scarier. Also, I liked that Gage in this movie was, like, because in the 1989 movie, Ellie, she, like, has all these visions, and she, like, tells her mom all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because she's, like, able to comprehend kind of what's going on. But in this movie, Gage is not able to comprehend what's going on.
Yeah.
So he's scared, but he can't express that. So I think it's interesting because Ellie was kind of, like, one of the things that, like, almost stopped what happened.
She was, like, an active factor.
She was, like, an active factor. And in this one, Gage, he's just, like, a passive viewer who can see what's going to happen, but he's too young to do anything about it because he doesn't have the communication skills.
Yeah.
Which makes it even scarier. Definitely. Because it puts you, the audience, in a perspective of knowing, but that, like, dramatic irony of, like, not being able to tell the characters what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is what horror movies do.
Yeah.
Constantly, they try and do that to you. So I think that is another reason why they took that angle.
Yeah.
And it works better for the horror aspect.
Definitely. I agree that, like, the switching of the kids is, it works better if you want to make a, like, a more compelling horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, scary.
Especially if you're going to try and fight a 9-year-old versus a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Just a lot of
Especially if they have super strength, which, you know, Wendigos.
A lot of physical difference there.
Yeah. Yeah, and also she can deliver her lines, which is just such a huge...
Just so much better.
So much better.
Just such an improvement.
Yeah.
I will say, I forgot in both movies at multiple points that the other one had a sibling.
Which I think is interesting because in the book and especially, I guess in all of them, Rachel's parents, like, they glom onto her because she's their remaining child.
Mm-hmm.
And then in, like, both of the movies, they don't forget about their remaining child, but they just are less important. Which is, like...
Well, it's, like, it's weird because in the beginning of the movie, in the 1989 movie, Gage and Ellie are, like, equally important.
Yeah.
We spend pretty much the same amount of time with both of them. And then once Gage dies, and Gage is dead for a good portion. And we hardly even see Ellie. We see her a couple times and she's with Rachel. And I know it's because she goes away.
Yeah.
But even then, it's, like, constantly, like, Gage, 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 Gage. And then, obviously, once Gage comes back, that's all we focus on. And then we end up leaving Ellie behind. And once we leave Ellie behind, we don't see her anymore at all.
Yeah.
And in this one, we pretty much forget about Gage until Ellie actually comes back to kill Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pretty much don't really see Gage very much until they put him in the car.
Yeah.
And then we don't see him at all until the very, very end.
Yeah.
So I literally, like, both times was like, oh, I forgot they have a sibling. I forgot they're not an only child.
Yeah. And that's interesting, I think. I think that, especially in the old one and the book, and I think in the new one, is, like, showing grieving process.
Yeah.
The differences in grieving when a child is lost or something.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I think that's an interesting angle to take. And I think you're supposed to forget about the other sibling almost.
That's good. Because it'd been a while since I watched the 1989 one after we saw the 2019 one. And I was like, weird that they made her a sibling. And Jane was like, he'd always been a sibling. And I was like, what?
Yeah, she didn't remember.
I literally didn't remember that he had a sister. Like, in the first one, I was like, it's just Gage. And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yes, it is. There's no sister. And she was like, I just watched it. There's a sister. And lo and behold, Ellie's in there. Yeah. She's pretty important.
Yeah, she has, like, the visions.
She has the visions, but guess what?
Doesn't help.
Guess what? She is so forgettable.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never going to forget her now because of her fake crying scenes are so bad.
Her fake, she's such a bad
literally
child actor.
Throws herself on the couch.
Yeah, not a great child actress.
No.
Not great. Gage is better in the old yeah. one than her.
Yeah.
Which is saying something. He's a 3-year-old.
With recorded Build-A-Bear button
he
talks.
And he's better.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you liked the 2019 version more?
Yeah, I liked it better because I feel like Pet Sematary is really scary, and so you just want it to be a horror film, and there's really not very many scary aspects to the first film.
Mm-hmm.
It's more poignant, but it's not really scary.
Yeah,
And this one is very scary.
Very scary. Yeah. I thought it was a really good example of modern horror.
Yeah. Also just way better acting, on the whole.
Yeah. Old Lewis is just so much better looking.
That's true. Old Lewis is better looking, but also he falls to the ground.
I like it.
No! That's
directing.
That's not top-notch drama acting.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm a fan of silent expression. Not a fan of what's in the box.
What's in the box? What ratings would you give?
1989, I would give I'll say 7 out of 10.
Okay.
And 2019, I'd give an 8 out of 10.
I like it.
I don't think either of them are groundbreaking cinema, but I think they're good for what they are.
Yeah. I think I'd probably just... Being more critical, I probably give the 1989 one. I don't know. I think I give them both 7s. I like different aspects of both of them.
Yeah. Me too. They're also just very...
They're very different.
Okay, so I have an IMDb review.
Yes.
It's for the 1989 one rather than the 2019 one. Because, I don't know. Because this is the one I found. So...
Yeah. Guys,
I'm going to skip the first part because it's just a recap of the movie and I don't need that. And it's a paragraph, so I'm going to skip it. But it's 1 out of 10 revolting horror film.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Revolting.
Definite spoilers. The novel by Stephen King was good. It was long, but it developed characters and situations that made you care what happened. This movie jettisons all the character development and just plays up on the gore and violence. Animals are killed on camera. I know it's faked, but it's repulsive. A little boy is hit with a semi and then his casket pops open during the funeral in a totally sick scene. He's brought back to life and attacks and kills people, including his mom. I do wonder how a 3-year-old was able to hang her. I have a theory that he killed her and then hung her for effect. A ghostly jogger, don't ask, tries to help the family for no reason. The movie just works the audience over, showing every gruesome death or violence in your face. It just goes out of its way to shock you. The acting is no help. Midkiff is just dreadful as the father. He's handsome and buff, but totally blank. Crosby isn't much better. The two kids are just annoying. Only Gwyn single-handedly saves his picture with his effortless good acting. Oh yeah, that Maine accent. Nothing saves the picture like that Maine accent. That's the truth. This picture shows a total contempt for the audience, taking large leaps in logic and having characters do incredibly stupid things, especially Midkiff in the end. She did read the book.
That's what I'm wondering. So this person says that they read the book, but this all happens in the book. Like, every single thing that she's complaining about happens in the book. What do you expect? Are you going to... Do you want them to change the plot?
Just not show anything scary at all, please. Please don't make this horror.
I don't know if you read the book.
This movie was inexplicably a huge box office hit in 1989, which led to the even worse sequel in 1992. Haven't seen that.
We need to watch it.
I saw it in the theater back then and was disturbed how the audience kept cheering on the violence and was appalled by what I saw. That's a little fucked. A sick, repulsive horror film. A one all the way. And just when you think it's over and it can't get any worse, the Ramones sing a title song. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
It's so good.
Truly beyond belief.
I love that song.
I love that song, too.
Okay, that person, I don't think they read the book.
I don't think they did either.
Because all that happens in the book.
I was like, surely the ending's the same.
The only thing that was valid was the acting criticism. The rest was just plot, and all that plot happened in the book. And if you liked the book, then I don't understand how you wouldn't like the plot of the movie.
Yeah, or how you think it's like, wow, repulsive, and you're like, it's in the
He
book.
Kills a kid in the book, and he describes it way more than they show in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, he describes a baseball cap filled with blood.
Also, in the is book. He talking about the, she talking about the rat?
I don't know.
Is that the dead thing? The dead animal they kill?
I mean, there's a dead animal on screen. They don't kill Church on screen.
Well, they do kill Church, but they kill him with it. They don't, like, bludgeon him.
Exactly.
Death.
Like, they just find his dead
poison.
Yeah, and they find and
oh and, yeah,
they find his dead body, and then he kills him with poison.
And then Church kills the mouse or the rat or whatever. It
yeah,
is. But even that's just a fake toy mouse they threw in a bathtub.
Yeah, ugh. I don't think they read the book.
I don't think they did. Either.
I really don't think they did. I think they're one of those people who say, "Oh, the book was good, but the movie." And I'm like, everything you're complaining about in the movie was
in
the
book.
So
it's like, what makes the book good?
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something because we're talking about it already, but I didn't want to say it in the beginning in case people don't like the banter part and then they go away. You know, I'll leave it at the end. So the It 2 trailer, the It Part 2 trailer came
yes.
out today. I thought since we were talking about Stephen King, it was appropriate.
Yes, it's so good.
Yes, it looks so good.
It looks so scary. I was actually, I'm re-listening to It, like the mm-hmm. audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
I read it, but again, I read it in like high school.
Right.
So I'm re-listening to it before the second part comes out. And I just got to that scene that they're covering it, that they cover in the
trailer.
Like the one where she's
mm-hmm.
with the old lady.
With the old lady.
Oh my gosh, it's so scary.
I'm literally so excited.
How she keeps like peeking around the corner.
I know.
And it's so scary.
I'm pumped.
You guys
pumped,
should go
pumped,
watch
pumped,
it.
Pumped. It's 4 days before I leave. For England.
Oh, we have to go
so
see
we'll
it. Like,
to go see it.
We have
like,
to go
as soon
see
as it comes out.
As soon
out.
As it comes out, yeah.
Well, usually horror movies don't box office sell out. Although
yeah.
this one, I don't know.
I don't know. But no, we'll have to go see it
I
as
know.
Soon as it comes out. Oh my God, it's going to be so good. I think Bill Hader is going to do so good.
I think so too.
I think the acting is going to be great. I really
I think so too.
Do.
The acting in the first one was good and they were child actors. So.
Exactly. That movie was such like an enigma with child acting. They were all so good.
I know. It's the age of child acting right now.
I agree.
So true. Like, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
To be fair, some of the people in Stranger Things are in
Finn Wolfhard's very talented, is
he
what
is.
We're saying.
He's a rock star, too.
He is a rock star, yeah.
Ooh.
He does, like, little guitar.
We're huge fans, Finn.
Huge fans, Finn. Huge fans.
Huge fans. I've seen you in two things.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say.
Awesome.
I don't know why I didn't just say that at the beginning.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. The Flick Chicks is edited and produced by Liam Mandelbaum.
Yep, yep.
And I think that's all we have for you today.
I think so.
Awesome.
Is it my pick next week?
Yeah.
Cool. I should pick a movie.
You should.
Well.
Bye.
Bye.